I sent that to Austin yesterday. He's like, what's up? I'm like, JC, what the f*** is wrong with me?
That's tough.
That's so tough.
You don't want to say that to the CEO of a company.
JC, am I in, is it 2007 and I'm signing his yearbook?
Yeah.
Mortifying.
Yeah. You might have a meeting with HR later.
Isn't that shocking? I'm shocked myself. I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I said that.
You should have pivoted. I said Jay-Z. I'm just listening to Jay-Z while working hard.
How are you doing today?
I am doing so well. Excited to be in the studio with you.
Me too.
Yes.
So today we're talking about if you should talk about salaries at work.
We're talking money at work.
Pretty exciting stuff.
It's very exciting. And should we just get vulnerable, real vulnerable here first?
Sure. Why not?
With the listeners.
Let's hear.
How much money did you make at your first job? Should we just bust right into it?
Yeah, let's bust right into it. I made a lot of money at my first job, actually. So
she's sick. Like, why did I leave?
I made a lot of money for 2016 for Florida. Yeah. I made $65,000 at my first job.
Yeah.
What about you?
$12,000. I was raking
sick.
It in.
Yeah.
I did AmeriCorps. Okay. So they just pay you $12,000. Like, there's no negotiation.
Has that changed?
It's
has
probably
that, like,
gone down. They probably were like, we're actually paying them too much. Let's make it $10,000. And then I went to grad school and I worked my way up to $18,000.
Wow.
Paid through the graduate program.
Okay.
And then my first, like, actual job that was not graduate school, was not AmeriCorps, it was like a full-time salary. I negotiated and I was like coming from $18,000. So
right,
I was
right.
Like, okay.
You were anchored to that $18,000.
I was anchored big time, but I was like, okay, I'm going to ask for $30,000.
Almost, that's a double.
Almost doubling my salary. I was like nervous.
Yeah.
I legitimately was sweating when I was like typing the email to ask for $30,000. And they emailed me back and they literally were like, legally, we're not even sure we could pay you that little. Like, we have to pay you more. So like they bumped up me up to like $38,000. And I was like,
huge win.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Pretty great negotiator over here. So it was $38,000 was my first like full time salary. And that kind of was been my anchor.
Okay, this is interesting. So do you think that you would have asked for more if you had known, like, what the salary bands
100%,
were?
100%. I think you only know what you know.
Yeah.
And I think your anchor and what you've made in the past really, like, creates this perception of, like, not your worth, but, like, you could only go up so much
right.
each level.
Right.
And so I was like, I'm making $18,000. Like, I can't ask for like 50,
right.
even though that's like now like super normal, particularly in Milwaukee. Like,
yeah.
I probably could have made 60, 70,000. It just felt like too big of a jump where it would have been outlandish. But if I would have known salary bands or like there would have been more salary transparency involved, I definitely would have asked for more and probably made more money.
Yeah. So this is exactly what we're talking about today, right? Is should you talk about work, about money at work?
Yeah.
And I guess like, why are we talking about this? Like, what set the scene for us?
Yeah. Yeah. Should you ask your coworkers about how much money they make? And this is like a definitely evolving topic. I think it's getting a lot of spotlight on it. Right now, 82% of Gen Z employees feel like that talking about money at work, asking your coworker about how much money they make mm-hmm. is an appropriate workplace conversation. 82%. So
that's
a significant majority.
Yeah.
That is compared to boomers who say about 47% of boomers say that's an appropriate conversation to have at work. So we've seen this increase, a huge generation gap
mm-hmm.
of how people think about talking about salary.
Right.
And it's not just individuals. It's also like cities are getting involved where they're making it mandated, like New York City. When I moved here, it was not mandated. Now it is
mm-hmm.
to have a salary band for open positions.
Right.
So when you go to apply, it's legally required for them to put a salary band, put some salary transparency on the job opening. So it's becoming much more of a thing.
Yeah. And I think there's like definitely two different types of salary transparency
mm-hmm.
that we should talk about today.
Okay.
The first is people talking about it more, right? Like
being transparent.
How much money
coworker.
Do you make, right? Talking to your coworker individually. And I think it makes a lot of sense that Gen Z is doing that more often or is more comfortable with that than, for example, the boomer generation.
Why do you say that?
Because I think we've seen that Gen Z, for a variety of reasons, has decoupled work from their identity. And I think when you view work as more transactional versus like, this is something that I'm doing because I'm obsessed with it and this is my life's calling, you're not going to think, you're going to be getting other stuff versus just getting a salary.
Just compensation. Right.
And so Gen Z, generally feels a little bit more decoupled from work.
So then they're like, okay, if I'm not getting these other things from work, like it is a transaction, so I should maximize compensation.
Exactly.
And to do that, I should be talking about how much other people are making, looking into it, advocating for myself more.
Right. Trying to maximize how much money I can make.
Right.
Also, I think it's a natural backlash. Like in the early mid 2000s, there was these like tech companies that were coming up and it was like startup culture. You know, we have ping pongs, we have nap pods.
Remember my friend like drinking beer like every day.
Yeah, literally at like 4 p.m. It's like happy hour or whatever. And it's like, we're a family. We're like, we're, you know, a company that like you're working here. It's for a higher purpose. And I think there's a natural backlash to that. And it's like, actually, I don't want to be napping at work. I want to work for as long as I have to and then go home and
actually work isn't my family.
Yeah.
My mom is.
Right.
Breaking news.
And I'm not like invoicing my mom for the dishes or whatever.
Well, I am. Yeah. No, it's I think that's a great point. It's interesting because if you look at more of the stats too, it's like 65% see the benefit in talking to their coworkers about salary, but only 20% actually want their salary like out there.
Is that Gen Z or just everyone?
Just everyone.
Okay.
Like people are comfortable with the idea in general about understanding how much your coworkers make. But when it gets personal and specific, people feel really uncomfortable.
Right.
There is this big gap. And then people are like, I actually don't want other people to know how much I make. And that is like a really uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
There's a crazy stat. It was 11% of people would rather run naked through the office than share how much they're making with their coworkers. And so people see the benefit, but they don't want to do it specifically for themselves.
Right.
So when it's anonymized, people do like it a lot more.
That makes sense. I mean, it's very different. Like I'm going to share my salary versus I see how much people in this general band are making. And I think that's a second bucket, right? It's companies are being more transparent about how they're paying, which I think is a trend that we've seen partially because it's being mandated by cities and states like New York. I think Colorado is another one, maybe.
Yeah.
That when you post, as you mentioned, the open job, you have to put the salary range. But also internally, people are, you know, companies are releasing bands to their internal. And I think also externally, I can't remember, it was like Buffer or something.
Yeah, there's a company called Buffer that their salaries are all transparent, not just internally.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an employee at Buffer, you know exactly how much your coworkers are making. It's also available externally. Like you can go to like buffer.com/salary or something
that
like
that. That is insane.
And you can see like how much an engineer 3 makes at Buffer. And what's interesting is they were a little worried like, okay, this is going to like kill morale.
Yeah.
People aren't going to apply because they've also just made it very standardized. Like an engineer 3 makes this much money and like that's it. End of discussion. And so they were like, oh, like maybe people aren't going to apply because they feel like they're not being rewarded for performance. What they saw is actually an influx of applications and morale actually went up. And so what I think is happening is people realize that if you are transparent about salary, people know exactly what they can get. People stop thinking about it and they're just a little more like comfortable knowing they're being treated fairly compared to their coworkers. And then they can get on with actually doing the job. And so for some people, that's a really powerful position to be in. And they like that type of culture.
Okay. So going back to our main question, should you talk about money at work?
Yeah. With your coworkers. I mean, I'll give a classic McKinsey answer here. And it depends.
Classic.
I think what those stats that we just talked about showed is that while people generally think knowledge is going to help them, which I agree with, knowledge about how much money people make, it is a really uncomfortable conversation. And not a lot of people want to have the conversation, which is played out with the statistics as well. So, like, if you are really close with your coworker and you have a really strong relationship and you share like everything with them and you consider them a friend, I think it's an appropriate conversation to have. And that's kind of on you to make sure like you understand the relationship.
Yep.
You know, on day one, I'm not going to slack a new coworker and be like, hey, you know, show me your W-2.
Right.
Like that's not going to be a good strategy. and you don't know them like that and they might not be comfortable and it could cause even more problems than you have currently not knowing how much they make. So yeah, it depends. What's your take?
No, I completely agree. And I think it basically depends on the desired outcome that mm-hmm. you have. So if you feel like you're being underpaid and you have some, like, either an inkling or, you know, some sort of proof for that, and you're just looking to continue to gather evidence, that's where I think it makes the most sense, like in a blanket statement, to talk to your coworkers.
Yeah.
I think we do the same job and I think I'm getting paid unfairly. I need to talk to you to confirm that
yep.
or, you know, disprove it.
Right. I think this is a really good point you bring up. I would say knowing how much your coworkers make is part of advocating for yourself, but I wouldn't just rely on that.
Yep.
Like, there's other methods you can do to assess your market value, which is like you're getting other offers from other companies. Mm-hmm. You're taking calls. You're going on Glassdoor or LinkedIn and checking other salary bands. There's ways to approximate how right. much you should be getting paid outside of just knowing how much your peer is being made
yep.
or is making, but also talking to them could be one data point.
Exactly.
If you want to go down that road though, like, have a goal in mind. I would never just want to know how much someone is making and then be like, okay, that's nice. I'm not going to do anything with that information. I think if you are prepared to have that conversation, what should come out of that is like, you're using that as information to advocate for a raise or maybe like advocate for them to make more money mm-hmm. if you're making more. Like, I wouldn't just treat this as like a willy-nilly fun conversation.
Yeah, that makes sense. I also think like when you have that conversation, remembering that unless your company is like evil corp or whatever, like if they're like, ideally they have your best interest at heart as a company and like we can, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
There's probably some rationale for why that person is making that much money,
mm-hmm.
whether it's above or below you or the same. Right. Like there are nefarious reasons why somebody would, there'd be a discrepancy in like two people that are doing the same job making different amounts.
Yeah.
But the reality is it could be maybe one person has more experience.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were hired in a time when the company was really crunched and they needed to make a hire and this person advocated for themselves and they yeah. got an extra $5,000.
Yeah.
Maybe they had a really good manager that, you know, advocated for them more frequently than you.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa, you know, yeah. maybe performance, maybe you got higher performance raises.
Right.
Like, I think when you come into a conversation asking somebody how much money they make, the reality is you're probably not going to have the same number. And the reality is it's going to change how you view, potentially, unless you, you know, really think about this carefully,
yeah.
it's going to change how you view your job, their job, your relationship with them, your relationship with the company.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not advocating to not do it. I just yeah. think if you are going to do it, know that something is going to change. And it probably is an element of the relationship. It's probably how you're going to view yourself. It's mm-hmm. probably how you're going to view the company. And they did this really interesting study in Norway. Of course, it's always
it's always Norway.
Yeah, it's yep. always Norway, where they made public tax filings or they made tax filings public.
Yeah.
So any person, I'm not making this up, any person in Norway could go online to a database and find out how much their like compatriots were making in Norway. Any citizen in Norway that paid taxes, you could find out exactly how much they were making. And then they actually analyzed like what did this do to people?
Mm-hmm.
They found people that were making more than the average Norwegian. They looked at their neighbors, they looked at their colleagues, and they were like, I'm doing pretty good. They were happier. It's like, wow, I feel grateful for what I have. People that saw that they were making less, you know, not breaking news here, they felt actually worse. And mm-hmm. so it increased happiness and equity. And I would guess that that's probably going to happen when you have a conversation with your yeah. coworker. You're either going to find out I make more, you might feel like great or like maybe like a little like embarrassed that you told them that. But overall, you're going to be like, oh, the company like really values me. This
yeah,
is great.
Yeah.
If you find out you're making less, it's really hard to avoid feelings of like almost like, damn, do I have a exaggerated sense of self here?
Right.
Maybe I'm not as valuable as I think I am.
Or I'm being underpaid and the company doesn't value me as
much. Or I'm being underpaid. Right. And
exactly.
you get resentment towards the company. And so I think it's really important to kind of prepare yourself for these conversations mm-hmm. as you go into them, that you're going to have an emotional reaction.
Yeah.
And if you just go in with like, oh, this is going to be fine, like you're probably going to leave that conversation, like damaging the relationship or yeah. not feeling confident in yourself.
I do have a tip, though.
Yeah.
Like it's a really scary conversation.
Yeah.
And especially if you're coming in, you really want to know there's like you have the outcome that you want. You feel confident in talking to this person. Sometimes it can go wrong. So mm-hmm. when I was at my second job, I had to take a pay cut because I went for my fancy $65,000 a year first job, moved to New York and took a pay cut to take my second job. I was very excited about it. And there were people that were doing the same thing as me that had started a few months earlier. Rachel, my now best friend.
Shout out Rachel.
Shout out Rachel. We love her. And we were a company that really valued happy hours as a team.
The company went bankrupt.
No, but I think it's doing great. But we were out one night and I had been thinking about it. Probably was maybe 2-3 months into the role. Mm-hmm. I was really agonizing over, I negotiated for my position. It was still a pay cut, but I did negotiate up, I think, $3,000 or $4,000.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see if I was being paid in line with the other editors that were making the same as me, or that were doing the same job as me, but had started a few months earlier. And so we went to this happy hour and we drank a little bit and I felt, okay, now is the time. I'm feeling comfortable. My anxiety about this is gone. Again, it's a very like fraught discussion. So I asked, Rachel, how much money do you make? And she told me. And then I woke up the next morning and realized that I remembered asking the question, but I don't remember her answer. And so my advice is, it's a scary conversation. Maybe it feels better to like be in a chill, more social situation when you ask, but make sure that you are not drunk enough to forget the answer.
Don't do it 5 martinis deep.
Yeah, that was tough. I think it was like 2 or 3 old fashions.
Did you just text her the next morning and be like, haha, remember when you told me that exact number? Maybe you should tell me it again.
I wish that I was that bold.
Oh, yeah.
I waited like months.
You just went on not knowing.
And I was like, I can't believe, and we never discussed it, you know, so for 6 weeks I was like, you know, Rachel knows that I know how much, but she doesn't know that I actually don't know.
Yeah.
So it took a while.
And one thing I think is cool about this story is like, you just said that this is your best friend now, one of your best friends. Like these conversations, again, if you understand the relationship dynamic, I think can bring people closer together. It's just like, understand the relationship going in.
Yeah.
The other thing I will say is like, I've seen talking about salary have a material benefit in my own life. Mm-hmm. And it had to do with you.
With me. You're right. Yes.
We were 1 year or so into the job.
Maybe 8 months.
8 months into the job. And we were talking and like, I had felt at that time that we were peers and like we had both contributed to the success of what we were working on at that time equally. Yeah. Like that's how I viewed you. I hope that's how you viewed me. And I remember talking and we found out that you were making almost double
what
I was making.
It wasn't
double,
but
more.
It was
close.
It was a lot.
It was like 80% more.
Maybe.
Yeah. And I remember like, honestly, and I think this is why people are sometimes afraid to have these conversations, I felt like embarrassed about myself.
Hmm.
Like I felt like I was like almost like didn't advocate. It made me feel like inferior, not like based upon like how much you were making, but like, oh, I didn't do a good job negotiating or like something is like wrong with me that like I'm not making as much. Like I didn't do a good job. And I think that was a really like hard feeling to grapple with. And I think that is why sometimes people don't want to have the conversation, because in some ways, like, ignorance is bliss. And having that conversation, like, really hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think I quickly got over it. Like, it was just, like, maybe for an hour I was like, whoa, like, did I really fuck this up somehow? Yeah. Like, what's going on? But then what I really appreciated is knowing that, like, you advocated for me.
Yeah.
And we talked to Morning Brew, and they, like, rectified the situation in a really great way.
Yeah, like almost immediately.
Almost immediately. Yeah. And so I actually respected Morning Brew a ton after that. And in their defense, when I was getting the role, they said, how much do you want to make? And I told them a number, and they paid me exactly that.
Yeah.
And so in some ways, it's also a lesson where, like, where you come in is going to be an anchor for how you can grow at the company, typically.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so me understanding, like, how much my peers were making, it did benefit me a lot.
Yeah, it's so interesting because we've talked about this. Obviously, we lived it, but we haven't really, like, gone too deep into it.
Yeah.
But on my end, I remember being so livid that you weren't being paid fairly. And it was just one of those things that like we were able to rectify it and like we moved on. But it was such a shocking moment for me as well, where I also understood the benefit of, first of all, negotiating. I had negotiated at the beginning, like a quite sizable increase.
And mine, I like literally like doubled my salary from Marquette. So I felt great about my initial salary too.
Right. So it was, you know, it was definitely a very interesting time, and I'm glad that we were able to have that conversation and to rectify it. But I do think this is another interesting point, like for the broader audience, which is that the idea of getting a salary and asking for a salary is inherently asymmetric information, which is the company knows how much they're willing to pay and how much they pay others. And you know only how much you've been paid in the past.
Yes.
And so you came in with that number from Marquette.
Yeah.
That was, you know,
an anchor. Yeah.
And you felt
it was a low anchor.
But it's the same situation, right? Yep. When you had 18, you were making 18K and you were like sweating, asking for double.
Yeah.
They were like, no, we can't. That's too low. So I think it's really interesting. And that's one of the benefits of talking.
Yeah.
To your peers or having your company be one that is transparent about their salaries.
Right.
Is it eliminates some of that asymmetric information?
I totally agree. So let's talk about tactics. I think like it's a really interesting conversation. We're seeing this become more and more prevalent in society, both from people being comfortable talking about it to employers being sometimes forced to even post salary bans. So, you know, if you're thinking about talking to your coworker about how much money they make, what is your advice? What are your tactics for them?
Really, really feel confident in that person, how they're going to take it, in the desired outcome, and this is the best way to do it, and every possible outcome, right? You could find out that you make the same as this person. You can find out that you make more, and you can find out that you make less. And every single one is going to have, like, knock-on effects.
Yeah.
And so you need to be really comfortable with what you're going to do and how you're going to react in any three of those potential scenarios. I also think that it should kind of be like a last resort. If you are going to talk to your coworker about how much they make, I think there are so many other resources that if you want to make sure that you're making a fair salary in the market, maybe take an interview, maybe see what another company is willing to pay you.
Yeah.
Or there's like resources like the H-1B visa website is one that I love going to. And basically you can see every single person who has an H-1B visa, they're required to post their salaries, the company is. And you can go through and you can see the salary bands for maybe your industry or your role. So that's one tool that can also help. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think your tactic is spot on. And the one thing I'll say too is like, we've seen that being transparent about salaries from a company perspective, and I think just individual conversations, can decrease like inequities in pay. And like, if you look at the stats, like people of color, women are paid less than men on average for like the same job. And so like, I would view it in that way. Like, if there is reason to think you're underpaid, it might be strategic to talk to your coworkers and make sure that you're making how much money you deserve to be making. But I think understanding the dynamic and the relationship with your coworker first is super, super important. The second tactic I would say is like, before you go down this path, articulate what matters to you from your job. There might be a time in which you've decided increasing compensation is the number one thing I want to do at work.
Yeah, I love that.
And if that's the case, then yes, take calls, figure out your market value, talk to your coworkers in a respectful, appropriate way that you have a great relationship with, and figure out exactly how much money you think you should be making, articulate that to your manager. Boom, that's great. There might be other seasons where you're really prioritizing like learning at your job or taking on new opportunities or, you know, creating a good relationship with your manager or something like that, where I can't say, I'm not saying you can't have it all, but like maybe focusing your time on figuring out salary is a distraction from like focusing your time on other things. And honestly, like sometimes it's nice not to know.
Yeah.
Comparison is the thief of joy. And like, so just understand what you're trying to optimize for before you just start like asking coworkers about money and then not doing anything with the information and fraying those relationships. I think that's always a great tactic, is like list out what you're trying to accomplish at your role, how important money is to you. And if it's not that important and you're really happy with how much you're being paid, you feel like it's fair, you don't want to go down a path where maybe you have feelings that get hurt, it's okay not to do it as well.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. And I think another thing that we haven't talked about that I think is very, very important is trust there is an inherent trust in your company. When you're getting paid, you know, you have that asymmetric information and maybe you decide you value other things you don't want to ask. But that also, you know, implies that you trust that your company is paying you fairly. Yeah. And so if you work for a company when you don't trust or you have some reason to believe that they're not paying you fairly or they're not paying you like appropriately in the same way that they pay other people, mm-hmm. like that completely changes the calculus on everything. And right. you should absolutely be talking to your coworkers about that.
Yeah. And I think that's what, and what, like people only talk to their coworkers about money if they feel like there's not trust there. Yeah. Right. And so that is why I think a lot of companies are moving to this like very transparent system mm-hmm. where you know how much you're making. They're being very clear about it because they understand that is what people want. They want to feel like I'm being treated fairly. I think that's like kind of the end all be all of this discussion. Yeah. And when there's less transparency, people are forced to have these like kind of like it feels like a seedy conversation that you're not even supposed to be having to figure out exactly, okay, am I being paid fairly? And so the more employees can get or employers can get ahead of this, mm-hmm. I think it's going to save them a lot of headaches down the road as well.
So do you think that employers should employ more pay transparency?
I think it's a good thing personally. Mm-hmm. I think you should have a take as a company. And I think also what people want to know is like, how do I get to the next level, like mm-hmm. Of a salary? How do I get promoted? This is a whole separate like podcast conversation on that. But the more clarity around like how much you're making now, how much you can be making in the future, the steps to get there, I think people just want clarity. They want clear expectations. And the more an employer can give them, I think you're going to attract talent. The other thing I love, there's a great Netflix culture deck. And mm-hmm. one of the things they say in this deck, it's like from, I don't know, like 2000s, Reed Hastings, the co-founder of Netflix, put it together. They say it's not a disservice to take a call from a competitor and figure out your value. Mm. In fact, you should be doing that. So yes, again, you could talk to coworkers, but so much of this can be done outside of those conversations. So I would encourage people to go down that route maybe first.
Yeah.
Is like go figure out your value outside of your company and maybe use that as a negotiation leverage before you have these conversations with your coworkers. My last tactic is talk to your manager. Mm-hmm. Like I think sometimes just asking them like, I'm really interested in increasing my compensation. What would that look like in your eyes? Like, what would I have to accomplish? What would that next band be? And see how transparent maybe they're willing to be just up top before, again, you go down these paths. Because I think if they're clear and you're comfortable with that, then you can pursue that path.
Okay, interesting. So to recap.
Yeah.
Asking your coworkers how much money they make and divulging how much you make is kind of like a resource of last resort.
Yeah.
There's a ton of other tactics that you can employ mm-hmm. to figure out if you're being paid fairly mm-hmm. Or how to advocate for others. You know, it doesn't have to just be about you. And you should employ those before you ask. But if you do, make sure that you have a good relationship with them. Make sure that you're appropriately approaching the conversation with them and make sure that you're prepared for all of the possible outcomes.
Boom. What a great recap.
Sick.
A little spark notes there for you at the
end. Amazing. Okay, great.
Let's wrap up. Well, if you want to talk to us about how you think about talking to your coworkers, the salary, or you give our tactics a try, we'd love to hear feedback. Yeah. Email us per my last email at morningbrew.com. Should we roll the credits?
Let's roll them.
All right. Our producer is Michaela Heck.
Our technical director is Uchenna Waogu.
Dan Salyer is our office manager.
And Devin Emery is our chief content officer.
And this show is a production of Morning Brew.
We'll see you next week.
Later, y'all.